The views expressed in this program are those of the participants.
I'm going to call the police. Uh-uh, not good.
Quinn, you know we never have any luck in that area.
We've been here a little while. The police seem cool. We haven't seen any abuse. They're not like stormtroopers. I'm calling them. Operator, I'd like the police, please.
Sergeant Lou Dawson, LAPD.
That was quick.
And Quinn Mallory.
Yeah?
You're Brown. And you're Becky.
Yeah.
Well, is there a problem, officer? Have we done something wrong?
I don't think you've done anything, but there's definitely a problem. You mind if I sit down? My dogs are killing me.
Go ahead.
Okay, here now. Every time there is a transaction made in cash, there's a photograph taken for the police.
Is there something wrong with cash?
It's just unusual, so we take a picture to make sure the cash wasn't obtained illegally. Why don't you use your bone graph or your DNA debit transaction?
We prefer cash.
We're from Canada.
My mother always told me, never spend money that you can't see.
That's good advice. You have had your bone graphs, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Welcome, everyone. It is Thursday, March 16th, 2023. I'm Bob Metz.
And I'm Robert Vaughn.
And this is Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online.
Join us for an hour of discussion that's not right wing, it's just right.
Fade into color, and color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be alright.
I have to confess that I find it difficult to know just what to say or how to effectively react when confronted with a story as horrifically startling and significant as the one our guest, Pastor Artur Pawlowski, has to share with us today. It is not only the fact that his experiences occurred in Canada, but that it was even possible for them to have occurred in Canada that makes this such a difficult reality to accept. When he says that Canada's police forces have been acting like the Gestapo, this is no overstatement or exaggeration. As he reminds us, the word Gestapo simply means political police. That people associate this word with crimes against humanity and with totalitarianism and tyranny is perfectly consistent with both the theory and the practice behind political policing. Once a nation reaches the point where its politics requires policing, then you know without a doubt that the government in question does not have the consent of the governed. And that is the Canada of today. So for those still in doubt by what is meant when it is said that politics is force, you need look no further for a concrete example of how that political force is abused than by hearing firsthand about the horrific experiences of Artur Pawlowski being persecuted by Canada's top fascists and criminal politicians. Robert's entire hour plus March 3rd discussion with Pastor Pawlowski is available on our various video channels. However, for our focus today, the discussion concerns the dismal status of the police state into which Canada has descended, as framed and illustrated by the story that Artur Pawlowski has to tell. It is a story that should be heard over and over again, if for no other reason than to let the world know that Canada is not the peaceful kingdom it was once assumed to be, but apparently never was. And as a warning to each and every Canadian that we no longer live in a free nation. Artur Pawlowski has a story to tell, and it is his story to tell, a true story that gets underway right after our reminder that you can write us at feedback@justrightmedia.org, hear us on WBCQ and on Channel 292 Shortwave, follow and like us on your favorite podcast platform, and visit us at justrightmedia.org, where you can access all of our social media links, archive broadcasts, and the support button that makes it easy for you to support the show. Because as always, your financial support is appreciated and is what makes this show possible.
There is a quote from Thomas Paine that is appropriate to read before I introduce my guest. Quote, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman." Unquote. Pastor Artur Pavlovsky has become a living symbol of defiance against tyranny in Canada and his province of Alberta. He came to worldwide attention for his unceremonious expulsion of Calgary police officers and health officials from his church during Passover services, calling them Nazi psychopaths, Gestapo, and unbelievable, sick, evil people. His arrests in the middle of a rainy Calgary highway and on the tarmac of Calgary Airport also caught the eye of freedom-loving people as they watch Canada devolve into a police state. He has been singled out by petty and egomaniacal politicians and bureaucrats, harassed and persecuted for standing up for his own health decisions and his individual rights, fined for not wearing a mask, jailed, effectively imprisoned in his own home, forced to pay enormous fines, denied bail on one charge, and kept in solitary confinement. A modern-day Job whose soul is definitely being tried. His experiences are proof that our rights and freedoms in this country are not protected by law, and that, to the lower courts at least, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms is subservient to the diktats of medical civil servants, and that there is little justice, either in Alberta or Canada. He's now taking his fight to the electorate, and this past September was elected to lead the Independence Party of Alberta. Pastor Pavlovsky, welcome to our program, and could you please tell us your story?
Thank you so much. Well, where do I begin? As you remember, I became the first Canadian citizen to be charged with a COVID Nazi ticket. Before that, I received a letter from the City Hall telling me that I have to stop feeding the poor because we are in the middle of this crazy pandemic. And I thought to myself, like, you people do not make any sense. If we're truly in the middle of this crisis, my services are needed more than ever. And I replied to them. I said, just, you know, what do you think is going to happen to 15 to 20,000 different individuals that are facing homelessness in our cities in the province of Alberta? You're shutting down shelters, you're shutting down soup kitchens. Those people are going to turn to crime. They're going to whack your father's head. They're going to break into garages, cars, stores, houses. I mean, obviously, people need to eat. They need shelter. They're going to do something to survive. No, no one cared, believe it or not. The mayor didn't reply. The ministers didn't reply. I sent a letter to the premier. He didn't care. And instead, I had 12 officers showing up at our church. And I was the first Canadian to get a COVID ticket and the threat of arrest and $1 million ticket. And that was 2020. Every week I would feed the poor, I would end up either with a ticket or harassment or intimidation. And then, of course, the end of the 2020 happened. And I'm sure you remember when the government just announced that Halloween is perfectly okay, kids go and have fun. But then when Christmas came, it was a total lockdown. No one was allowed to celebrate Christmas. No one could come together, no dinners, no coffee with your brother, nothing, zero, no singing allowed, no churches allowed, no family dinners allowed. So what I did, I invited my whole family and my friends, and we did the biggest Christmas dinner we could, and I sent them a picture. The chief of police replied that they're going to send the cruisers, and they're going to look if people have extra cars in their driveway. So I decided to go on television too, and I invited, first of all, I said, I'm canceling you, you devils, and I invited people to the biggest Christmas celebration in the country. Thousands of people showed up, and we had AAA steaks, we had gifts for the homeless people, and we had over 100 police officers, 52 police cars, 20 cops on bicycles, SWAT team, anti-terrorists showed up, chief of police, and they came bearing gifts. I end up with 15 more COVID tickets. And we did the unthinkable. We had carolers. And we were told that singing is going to wipe out the entire neighborhoods. I mean, it was a total insanity that even during the communism, I have not seen it. And when I learned about Nazis, even they would not dare to go as far that singing is prohibited by law. It was a total craziness. Of course, I end up on all over the news, and then they decided to come to our church. I pastor two churches. One is called Street Church, streetchurch.ca. It's three times a week feeding the homeless people. And then another one is in a building, like a regular church building where I teach in theology and history. And so they came and they blocked a driveway to the church. I mean, it was craziness. And then they came with telescopic cameras and taking pictures of our women and children. If you know anything about communists, that was exactly the tactics of the KGB. When they couldn't do anything to the men, they would pressure the men by, hey, we know where your wife works. We got a picture. Look at your daughter. You know what we can do to your 12-year-old daughter, etc. So those were the tactics that Calgary police started to implement. And then the Passover came. Passover of 2021, when those Gestapos, because that's what they are. And by the way, for the people that do not understand the word, Gestapo simply means political police. Those people are not acting in a capacity of peace officers. They are just simply political enforcers, a muscle for the biggest mafia that we have right now, which is corrupted to the core, compromised politicians.
Now, from downtown Calgary, Angelica Toy. Angelica, great to see you. You have been covering this story very closely, along with Sidney Fizard. Now, tell me what else happened today, because I understand that Pastor Arthur Pavlovsky, who, of course, we've been defending for 3 years since he was the target of a lockdown charge, I understand he had a rally in support of Pastor Reimer today. Tell us how that went.
Yes, correct. So as soon as I got here, we all decided to come into this building and warm up a bit just before the press conference, and they ended up asking the security guards. They said it was totally fine. And then all of a sudden, it started to go downhill. And Bob Layone, somebody who used to work for the Independence Party of Alberta, is close with Pastor Arthur. He was the one who technically organized the event. And he was talking with a security guard, trying to, you know, make sure everything was going smoothly. And then another security bypassed him and started raising his voice at Arthur Pavlovsky, telling him that he must leave, that he is not allowed in here. And then from there, it escalated. There was a lot of yelling, and other protesters that were in the building also started getting involved, and it just became a large altercation there. And afterwards, another protester was also told to leave the building.
I understand that Pastor Arthur Pavlovsky has been banned from City Hall, given an order under the Trespass Act for a month. Yes. Now, I haven't studied Calgary's trespass bylaws closely. I have studied them in other cities, like here in Toronto, because I remember when we were trying to go to City Hall in Toronto, and there was sort of a Idle No More Antifa shanty town there, and their security and police were trying to shoo us away. We studied the law. We realized that public property doesn't have the same trespass rules as private property. At least in Toronto, you can kick anyone off your private property for any reason or no reason. And it should be that way. If someone's on your front yard, you should be able to say, get off, and they should have to leave without a reason. But on public property, it's very different. Unless you're doing something aggressive, like drunk and disorderly, or there's certain prohibited activities. But other than that, you can be in a park. You can be in a public place. You can be on a sidewalk. And the idea of trespassing someone off of a public place is, I'm skeptical that it was done lawfully. Because a city hall, I mean, perhaps in the council chambers, there's a different rule. But just being in the big building of City Hall and someone says, get out, because the mayor hates Arthur Pavlovsky and Derek Reimer with a passion of 1,000 burning suns, you can tell. Do you know what they did wrong? Like, what, other than the mayor hating these guys, what happened?
They've done nothing wrong. Both of them have all exercised their charter of rights. And whenever you say something that the establishment doesn't like, they crack down on you, just like Justin Trudeau has done with Rebel News. And I would also like to add, the altercation did not stop just inside City Hall. It continued outside when Pastor Arthur had set up. He had just finished his speech. beach, and police officers had approached him, and they were trying to serve him with a trespass, the trespass notice. And Archer denied, and he did not want to physically take the ticket. So the police officers kept pushing, and they ended up actually chasing him and cornering him. And it became a big mess. And after that whole entire thing, he ended up, him and his brother David, they both got served with a 1-year ban from City Hall.
Mother, this is Colin Mallory, the kind young man who helped me get Uncle Ray.
Oh, you'll never know how grateful we are for this. Come on inside. You must be starving. You know, when my daughter Susanna told me she'd met a nice young man who could help us with our problem, well, I just knew my prayer had been answered.
I am glad I could help.
You're not from around here, are you?
I am from Canada.
Ah, well, that explains everything.
And then the truck convoy comes. And I was called Canada's pastor. I was referred to Freedom Pastor. We had 15 to 20,000 people every week on the streets of Calgary marching. And then the trackers came and they asked me if I would officiate, church services for them. And of course, I was glad to do it. And we fed the truckers off. They went to Ottawa, and we kept the fort here with their local rallies. And then Milk River started to happen, and the Coots. Coots is the border between Montana and Alberta. So here is what I saw during the truck convoy. I saw something absolutely unbelievable, beautiful. The people came from every color, every creed, a language didn't matter. Where they emigrated from did not matter. Young and old, children, families were bringing their dogs, their horses, their cots. I saw people crying with each other, praying for each other, loving, hugging, congregating, singing. It was the most beautiful thing I have ever seen on this soil here in our beloved Canada, or China, I should call it now. So I did a church service in Milk River. I took my brother, my son Nathaniel, and a friend, a worship leader from our church. We sang songs, national anthem. We ate with the people. We had Lord's Supper. I delivered a sermon. And then we asked the RCMP to open the barricade because the roads were open when we came and the roads were open when we left. The only blockade was the RCMP. So I asked them if they would open for us so I can go to Coots, and they did. And they did open the barricade. We went there, and I did a second church service, again, singing hymns, national anthem, prayer. We had a Lord's Supper together. We had a dinner together, and I delivered a 19-minute speech to the people. Here is what I said to Canadians, and if I could, I would say the same thing again, over and over again. I am not ashamed of what I said. I stand by every word I said. I told Canadians to stand up and rise up for the God and state-given rights. I reminded them about solidarity movement, the power of non-compliance. During the Lake Valencia, when millions of Poles took it to the streets and the entire Soviet tyranny collapsed and the Iron Curtain was broken, the Berlin Wall fell down. I just reminded them about history. There's more of us than of the villains. If people will unite, because what they have been doing for the past few years was division, segregation, separation. But if we will understand what's happening and come together, it's over for the villains. So that's what I said to the people. I told them that with God we win. I had my solidarity hoodie, and I told them three times, peacefully, no guns, no swords. This is a non-compliant civil rights style movement of simply paralyzing their system by not participating in this craziness, not working for the wannabe pharaohs. Very peaceful. No one stopped me. RCMP was there, but no one said anything. They let me back home. few days later, believe it or not, I stepped out of my house and it was a gong show. It was the greatest takedown of El Chapo of Calgary or Al Capone of Canada. I don't know what those people were thinking. I was arrested by RCMP detectives, undercover police, uniformed Calgary police, SWAT team. They blocked the street. It was insanity. I was interrogated for hours, stripped naked, taken to prison, and placed in solitary confinement. The next day, they took me from my solitary confinement to metal cages, literally metal cages that you couldn't stand. You had to just sit like this. I had no idea what's going on. I thought they're going to murder me there. And they kept me in solitary for 45 days. Of course, denying my Bible, not giving me my reading glasses. Everything they did was illegal. They would not allow me to see my lawyers for 3 weeks. It was insanity, straight from the Soviet Russia playbook. Eventually, 45 days later, I was kidnapped, literally kidnapped by sheriffs, taken hundreds of miles away without the knowledge of my family or my lawyers, placed in Maxpot. Maxpot is a prison for the most dangerous terrorists, but bloody murderers. If you are so dangerous, they will put you in a Maxpot. So I was the only inmate in the entire prison unit during that time. Freezing conditions, sitting like this and shivering. So you are allowed to go 30 minutes out of your solitary cell. So I made a phone call and I said to my wife, because by now, five different inmates already testified that the guards were giving them incentives to murder me, to beat me up in prison. So I said to my wife, I think they're going to murder me here. I don't think I'm going to survive. It's a minus 28. I'm sitting here shivering, and I complained, and they were laughing at me. So tell the lawyer that she needs to do something to fight for my life or I'm dead. I'll not make it. So she sent a letter to the judge. And when the judge learned about this, that scared the remand center, because it's a private institution. It's run like cattle business, more cattle, more money they receive from the taxpayers. So the next day I was taken from my solitary Maxpot unit for terrorists. And you won't believe that. They placed me in a psych ward without the evaluation of the doctors, without even the knowledge of the Alberta Health Services. Totally illegal, Soviet style, North Korea, China style of dealing with this political dissidents. So I was placed over there, spent a week. It was absolutely crazy. Whenever I showed up, I was recognized by the inmates. So whatever they wanted to do, it backfired on them because I was the most popular inmate. People were chanting, "Free Pastor Art, if anything happens to him, we'll go after you." And that's why I believe they did not dare to beat me up or to hurt me physically because of the popularity that I had in all those different units. So that was going on for 50 days. And then eventually I was released from prison. Multiple times they denied my bail because I was considered the most dangerous in Alberta. The Crown prosecutor accused me that I caused Canadian economy over $400 million worth of damages for my sermon to Coutts. This pathological liar's name is Stephen Johnston. Stephen Johnston, that lying devil, Crown prosecutor in a province of Alberta, lied to the judges, made stuff up totally untrue, and they denied my bail only to hurt me, only to keep me in prison. Eventually, I was released, facing trial, and placed on house arrest, which to this day, I am still on house arrest a year later because I'm considered extremely dangerous to a point that I could not even have a pen in prison because I was considered too dangerous. It was totally crazy.
So I have had a lot of people send this information to me and say, you know, do you know about Switch? Do you know about Switch? And I'm like, well, no, I really don't. I don't remember anything about this coming out. So this seems to be kind of circulating with a fair number of people that also want integrity to be upheld as well in the Conservative Party. So let's have a quick look at what Chris Guy has to say.
So about last year, I did an expose on Switch Health. Switch Health is the company responsible for all the COVID testing kits for air travel. The first thing we uncovered is that it was a huge collaboration between the government and private industry, and that Switch Health was actually set up in 2018, 2 years before the pandemic. Now, the two key players here were Jordan Paquette, and you can check out his LinkedIn, and he has worked for the official office of public health, and he worked directly as the office of the prime minister, specifically coordinating with the World Economic Forum. It says so right on his LinkedIn. The second man is the investor, Mr. Calvin Rovinescu, the president and CEO of Air Canada, who retired in 2020 because he realized that selling test kits that cost pennies for hundreds of dollars was far more profitable and easier than running an airline. So he became a major investor and the new senior strategic advisor for Switch Health, partnering with Jordan Paquette of the provincial government. I did an expose recently, and we tried to uncover even more dirt on Switch Health, and we used ChatGPT AI program. And it pulled up an article from Forbes and an article from Global Newswire that showed that the CEO of Switch Health in 2020 was none other than Aneta Polievra, Pierre Polievra's wife. She was shown as Forbes as the person who was bringing COVID testing kits to North America, and they made this big fanfare of it. And Global Newswire called her, the CEO of Switch Health, Aneta Polievra, one of the most 100 powerful women in the country. Now, those are all scrubbed from the internet. You can find the links and click on them, but it'll say 404 unfound. But the headlines are still there, the links are still there. I'm gonna post all this. So let's recap. Switch Health, created in 2018, is the largest seller of COVID test kits in the world. It is CEO'd by Pierre Polievra's wife, in partnership with the ex-CEO and president of Air Canada, and Jordan Paquette, who worked not only for public health, but directly for the office of the prime minister, coordinating with the World Economic Forum.
Well, it's interesting.
Hibbler, will you please tell the impartial court how long you worked for the traitor?
I was secretary to Colonel Hauptmann for 2 months, 1 week, and 3 days.
During this time, were you in any way...
I have a question for the witness.
I am questioning the witness.
But my question is very important. I just want to ask...
The counsel for the defense may question the witness when the prosecution is finished.
But we only have a few minutes. I have this information.
Is there any reason that your questions and information cannot wait until tomorrow?
Yes. She's liable to get away tonight.
Colonel Klink, you're out of order. Sit down. Refrain from any more interruptions.
During the time you were working in Colonel Hauptmann's office, Fräulein Hibbler, did you have any reason to believe he was a traitor?
Objection!
Objection overruled.
You don't even know what it is.
I don't want to know what it is. I told you not to interrupt. That means no interruptions, no outbursts, and no objections. And no finger tapping. Or pencil tapping. The witness, please, will answer the question.
Yes. I made recordings of his telephone conversations, which I believe are proof of the charges brought against Colonel Hauptmann.
The prosecution would like permission to play the recordings.
Permission denied.
Colonel Klink.
He just asked a question and I'm answering.
You are listening to Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. And here again is Pastor Artur Pawlowski.
So, a trial happened a few weeks ago, and here is a bizarre thing about this whole ordeal. That the Crown Prosecutor did not call even one witness. In other words, what he said is that we don't need any witnesses. The sermon that he said is criminal in nature. I am the first and the only Canadian clergyman ever charged with terrorism, so interfering with the crucial infrastructure under the Defense Act, mischief over 5,000, and then breach of probation. And my sermon is the first and the only sermon on trial. It's so crazy. The Crown Prosecutor went line by line telling the judge an interpretation of what I meant by what I said. He compared my sermon to a Rwanda genocide. He said that my sermon was inciting people to commit acts of murder. It was a gong show. 2 days of listening to lawyers going back and forth what I meant by what I said during my 90-minute sermon. It was an insanity. Like I said to the people and to the media, this is truly a trial of the century, because if I go down, if I am found guilty, then every politician that makes a political statement, every commentator, every media personality, every person that dares to say anything contrary to the government can be charged with terrorism for simply saying what he feels. And of course, we have a fundamentally guaranteed rights that this government, and I'm talking about federal, provincial, and municipal governments, completely ignored. Those politicians are no longer serving people. They are little tyrants that are greedy for more. They've tasted the blood, they've tasted the power, and they will come for more. So anyway, I did my best to kind of summarize the craziness. I can talk for hours about what happened, but for the sake of time, you know, this is what happened. 340 citations over 100 court cases and 16 arrests so far is under my belt, simply for being a pastor in supposedly free and democratic society.
Wow, what a story. I'm flabbergasted. That's incredible. I hope you're going to write a book about it.
Well, I'm writing it when I have time, at least the COVID ordeal and prison. So it will come soon.
Yes, and I hope it gets put into a television miniseries, because everybody should know this. Most of this was unknown to me, or the parts that were known to me are like sanitized. When you see yourself talking on the street to a reporter, it's a soundbite here and there, and you go, okay, so somebody got a ticket, a fine. You never see the struggle that you're going through, and you've articulated it amazingly. It's quite a story. I just, when you were saying it, I was trying to think of when it all started. And if I could give an opinion here, it sounded as if you were honing in on the territory of the government. Bear with me. The government, a socialist government like we all live in, has to have victims. It has to have homeless. It has to have people that it can help. And you're showing them up, because you're doing it, 600 people off the street in 3 months, you're showing them how to do it privately. They're not needed. And I think that's probably what got their attention, is that you were showing them up and honing in on their territory. What do you think?
100%. There is actually few factors that play here. The shelters are being run just like the Riemann centers, per cattle. More heads, more money. If we are too successful in rehabilitating criminals, then the Riemann centers are going to lose millions of dollars. If we take homeless people off the streets, then the shelters will stop receiving the funding. I mean, it's very clear that we're talking about $230 million that are being designated to fight homelessness in the province of Alberta every single day. A year. So when you start asking a simple question, where is the money? Well, they are terrified of that question, and they will try to do everything in their power to destroy the person that is asking this uncomfortable question. So that's the first thing, money. This is a multi-billion dollar business, prison business, and that's what it is business. And then homelessness, it's a big fat business, multi-billion dollar business. When we started to be very successful, that threatened their business, and the politicians got involved because there's just too much money that they would lose if we clean the streets. Second thing is, you're right, socialist, communist, fascist, they want to be gods. They are the modern day pharaohs. And if you don't worship them, well, it's a competition. If you tell people there is actually God, a living God, and everyone will be accountable, well, that scares them. They don't like that because they don't want to be accountable. They are above the law. They can do whatever they want. They can lie, cheat, like we saw in the province of Alberta, Jason Kenney, the premier, with his cabinet ministers partying at the Sky Palace hypocrisy. Just 2 days after, we were arrested in the middle of the streets. They said our church service was illegal, but their partying was perfectly okay, breaking the rules and regulations and mandates. So one law for me, one law for thee, that's the law of the pharaohs, the masters. We are the elites. You will own nothing. You will be eating crickets, riding a bicycle in minus 35. But we are the masters. We will keep our private jets, our SUVs, eating, you know, best Alberta steaks, because that's us. The law doesn't apply to us. It applies only to the slaves. That's what is at play. And a pharaoh doesn't like when, you know, you remind him that there is actually a living God that will judge them. They don't like to be judged. So those are the two things. Money, which, of course, is corruption. Those institutions are corrupted to the core with government. And then you've got a competition. They don't want to be found accountable. They don't want the reminder that they're not gods. And it's very fascinating, but in for the past few years, every time they went on television and they said something, it was supposed to automatically become the law. Did you notice that? When they made a recommendations, they were not recommendations, they were immediately laws. And of course, they were not passed. They were not approved by the people, because the pharaoh has spoken. The god has spoken, so it becomes automatically a law. And then comes a man like me and says, no, we still have rules and regulations by under the Criminal Code of Canada and Charter of Rights and Freedoms and our Constitution. Back off, you devils, you Nazis, you Gestapo, you pretendees. You're no longer police officers. You're not peace officers. You're a muscle for mafia. You act like mafia. You don't even follow your own laws, and you're telling me I'm the lawbreaker? No, you devils, you're the lawbreakers. So they don't like those types of people like me that remind them that sooner or later, maybe not here, but when they will die, and every man dies, they're going to face the living God, a judge that doesn't take any bribes.
That is well said from the perspective of competition. Again, not only are you taking away their livelihood because you're taking homeless people off of the street and helping them privately, but you're giving people hope. Where once they were the god, now you're showing them an alternative. And it's been described that in the Soviet Union that it was officially atheistic, but I've heard it said that no, what it was that the state supplanted religion. The Orthodox Church was gone. You must now worship the state. And Stalin was worshipped. Kim Jong-un is worshipped. These dictators are worshipped as gods. People, look at the people fawning over Justin Trudeau. And you know that your religion has been supplanted by a state religion, atheistic as it may be, but it's certainly their gods are corporeal and sitting in Edmonton and in Ottawa.
I gather Sir Humphrey saw the cabinet secretary yesterday and got the most frightful wigging.
Really?
Yes, really tore him off a strip. Because of your brilliant scheme linking economies to honours.
Your scheme, you mean, brother?
I think we've been through all that before.
Sorry. My scheme. How does the cabinet secretary give a wigging to someone as high up as Humphrey?
Well, normally I gather it's pretty civilised, but this time apparently it was no holds barred. Sir Arnold told Sir Humphrey he wasn't actually reprimanding him.
Bad as that, was it?
Yes. He actually suggested that some people might not think Sir Humphrey was sound.
Hmm. A real punch-up.
Yes, indeed.
Well, what has Sir Arnold to fear, anyway? He's got all the honours he could want, surely.
Well, naturally, he has his G.
G?
Yes, you get your G after your K.
You're speaking riddles, Bernard.
Well, take the Foreign Office. First you get the CMG, then the KCMG, then the GCMG. The Commander of the Order of St. Michael and St. George, Knight Commander of St. Michael and St. George, Knight Grand Cross of St. Michael and St. George. Of course, in the service, CMG stands for Call Me God. And the KCMG for Kindly Call Me God.
What does GCMG stand for?
God Calls Me God.
I want to address Pierre Poilievre responding to some of the recent things that he said. It all began, the furor began when Brian Lilly put this out. Brian Lilly said, I asked Poilievre's office for comment on the meeting of three MPs and Christine Anderson. I received this comment from Pierre via text from a senior Poilievre staffer, someone I've known for well over a decade. Many apparently think it's fake. It's not. Or Poilievre would say so. Exactly. If Pierre Poilievre had not said this, he would be suing Brian Lilly, because I believe that Pierre Poilievre has lost a substantial chunk of his support, and that support, I believe, would go to Maxime Bernier. This is Mr. Poilievre's words right here, all of these, from his office, okay, which is as good as his word. Christine Anderson's views are vile and have no place in our politics. The MPs were not aware of this visiting member of the European Parliament's opinions, and they regret meeting with her, do they? Well, they were forced to say so anyways. Frankly, it would be better, he added this on. This is shocking. Frankly, says Mr. Pierre Poilievre, it would be better if Anderson never visited Canada in the first place. She and her racist, hateful views are not welcome here. Let's have a look at him being questioned about this, which will further validate that he actually said this. And let's see his response.
You denounced German MEP Christine Anderson as, quote, hateful and racist when she was touring Canada and had met with a couple of conservative MPs. What are the views that you ascribe to her that are hateful and racist, to use your terms?
Well, I mean, she attacked Muslims. She said that Islam is a misogynist religion, and that she didn't actually, she said it wasn't a religion at all. Well, there are over a million Muslims in Canada. I don't believe that that's true. And if someone had said that about Christianity, well, we'd all be up in arms. And so I disagree with the comments that she's made, and I said so.
What would your message be to the people who are supporters of yours that went out and saw her speak and felt like you were making a swipe at them, perhaps?
Well, I wasn't making a swipe at them. I'm simply speaking directly and clearly, the same way I condemn Justin Trudeau for his racist blackface and for his nasty comments that he's directed at minorities, including the unvaccinated. The same way I denounce Maxime Bernier for attending the World Economic Forum. I think Maxime really has to come clean on why he attended the World Economic Forum, why he was involved in that, why he proposed free trade with communist China, why he said that he admires the freedoms that exist in communist China. And I would denounce him for making those comments as well.
Maxime Bernier has put out statements regarding his attendance of the World Economic Forum, and it's quite explainable, just the same as y'all have been forced to do things when you were part of the Conservative Party of Canada. The Conservative Party of Canada, under which y'all ran, and you had to fulfill some of those duties or else, right, Mr. Poilievre? Just like what happened to those three MPs who had to issue an apology, toot sweet, or they wouldn't probably be able to run. Now, I haven't heard that you said that, but we all know the game.
I wonder if we could talk about Christine Anderson. She visited Alberta. You were there with her on stage. I did an interview yesterday with leader of the People's Party of Canada, Maxime Bernier, where we talked about not just Christine, but the reaction that she got from conservatives, most notably conservatives in Ottawa, Pierre Poilievre, calling her opinions vile and racist, but not filling in that blank as to exactly what opinions are vile and racist. And then Alberta conservatives, the mayor of Calgary, said the same thing. And Alberta conservatives are saying the same thing. We should not associate with her. But they never say why. It's just, you're racist, go away. And that pejorative is just thrown around so willy-nilly by conservatives. Could you tell me your impressions of Christine Anderson and why you think that these people, especially conservatives, although Trudeau came in and chimed in on that as well, but especially conservatives, why they would shy away from Christine Anderson, who probably shares a lot in common with policies of conservatives. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that they all are the same. All the ruling parties, there's absolutely no difference. It's the same coin, as just they're flipping it, playing a game. The same in the United States of America, Democrats and the Republicans, and then Republicans and Democrats. And here in Alberta, in Canada, actually, as a whole, is the same game. Voting for the lesser of two evils, being scared of a bigger villain. They all are villains. The past 3 years have shown us that we were betrayed by all the parties and all the politicians except few. You know, one here, one there. You mentioned one of them, Maxime Bernier. What an amazing statesman he has become in the past 3 years. You know, sometimes people don't like someone for the past, but let's just focus on the past 3 years. What he did was what a so-called conservative government was supposed to be doing, which to be an official opposition to the Liberal and NDP psychopaths, because that's what they are. But no, that didn't happen. All of those people have betrayed those that elected them. There is absolutely no difference between NDP, so-called conservatives, because they are not conservatives anymore, and the Liberals. They all are in bed together, sharing the same bed. Sometimes you will have a politician that will cleverly lie to you, trying to pretend, like Pierre Poilievre, that I'm the good guy and I am standing for freedom. And you gotta vote for me, because if you do not vote for me, then you will go, you're going to have the, you know, the crazy psychopath Trudeau. But his statement from the past few days, it just clearly, and I warned people about Pierre Poilievre, but you know, people are blinded. They're like horses with the blinders on, and they're like, no, that's our savior. That's the savior of Canada, because he speaks good during some of the parliament sessions. And it's true. Sometimes he speaks the right words. However, he is not a good man, just like Stephen Harper was not a good man. Stephen Harper brought the WEF and all this lie into our nation, and people just do not know that. So when they look at the politicians, they think they're good people because they tell them what people want to hear. But look, the Bible is very clear. It says, look what they do. You shall know them by their fruits. And the fruits are rotten. Pierre Poilievre during this time didn't stand up for the political prisoners, didn't fight for us. Where was he hiding, that traitor to conservatism? And I tried to tell that to the people, and they're like, oh, you're crazy. But now, last week, the words he said clearly are demonstrating that he is no different than Justin Trudeau Castro. He used exactly identical words to that psychopathic so-called prime minister. The same thing. And I said, I told you, they are the same people. What we need here, we need to remove those evil, wicked traitors, Judas Iscariots, from the parliament, from the legislatures, and from the city hall, And we need to replace them with good candidates, people that stood for us during this craziness, people that were willing to be arrested, marched with us, bled with us, and stood for the Canadian rights and freedoms and for the Constitution and the Criminal Code of Canada. So I find it fascinating that Pierre Poilievre, which of course is a traitor to conservatives and a huge disappointment, he used identical wordings. I find that fascinating that this psychopath in parliament, so-called prime minister, is using identical. It's like copy paste, copy paste, copy paste. So provincial government is the same thing. There's no difference between the NDP, conservatives, and the liberals. You got to remember, in the province of Alberta, it was the conservative government that shut us down. It was the conservative government that arrested more pastors than Chinese dictatorship. It was the conservative government that was caught red-handed, breaking their own rules and regulations, partying. Those people are still in power. Travis Staves, that partied at the Sky Palace, he's a minister. You've got the Copping. You've got the Nixon brothers, the Mafia brothers. You've got Casey Madu, that came publicly and said that this whole thing had never, it was never about keeping people safe or about science. It was about control. Those people are in power. He's the deputy premier. And of course, the new savior of Alberta, Danielle Smith, she promised that she's going to fix it. She's doing exactly the same thing. She's jabbing people left and right. I'm still on house arrest. Everything she promised, she did not deliver. Flip-flopping political pancakes, liars, Judas Iscariots. That's what those people are. So Christine Anderson, I spent a few days with her, and I'm telling you, she's genuine. She's concerned about immigration in Germany. If you know anything about Europe, Europe is under invasion. That's what it is. Let's call it, you know, let's call this the way it is. It's an invasion. People that do not value democracy have invaded Germany and are destroying it. And it looks like the mainstream political parties are not willing to stand up. So God lift up Christine Anderson. What is she standing for? She's standing for God and state-given rights. She is advocating for freedom. She says, well, listen, there has to be some kind of checks and balances if it comes to immigration. You cannot just open the borders and bring millions of people. That destroys economy. That destroys demographics. That destroys everything from, you know, criminal aspects to finances, you name it. Economy is collapsing. And she simply says, hey, this is total insanity. You are destroying us from within. And I agree. Those people should be charged with treason, just like our politicians should be charged with treason as well. So what happened was, I was invited by the farmers and the beef producers, ranchers here in the province of Alberta, to give Christine Anderson a white hat. You know, white hat is a symbol of hospitality. It's like a thank you. Thank you for standing up. Thank you for being, you know, good, for doing something impressive. And that's what Christine Anderson did. She spoke on a global scale, on a world stage, against the tyranny of the federal government, and kudos to her. So when she came here, obviously, she is my hero. I came to spend some time with her. I was able to speak at the same stage and presented her with solidarity apparel, and then presented her with the white hat. And then they freaked out, all the devilish traitors in a political arena, the UCP, the conservative government, disassociated themselves from this politician that actually said what they were supposed to be saying, and she did what they were supposed to do, but they didn't. And then they attacked the white hatting ceremony as well. How dare you? Well, since when? Only the politicians and corrupted politicians that do not represent us have monopoly on whom we Albertans or we Canadians can honor. I mean, who those people think they are? We had packed houses, hundreds of people showing up everywhere this woman appeared. So that tells you everything. It speaks volume that Canadians love that woman. Albertans cherish that champion of freedom. So it was a great time to spend with her. I listened to her speeches a few times, and I'm sure she's not a perfect woman, just like you and me, we're not perfect, but she stands for freedom. And anyone that says that stands for freedom and vilifies that woman tells me clearly, and should tell you clearly as well, that they are liars, they're pretendees. We in Poland, we call them painted foxes. That means they're not real. They're just playing a game. And in Canada, we have seen this game for a very long time. You know, you got to vote for us, because if you don't vote for us, then they will get in and they will finish you off. No, you are all the same. That's why I decided to support Maxime Bernier, and I decided to run for a political office myself.
Powerful, powerful, Pastor Pavlovsky. You know, when they say that when the government denies the individual rights of one person, they're denying it to everybody. And conversely, when somebody like you is fighting for your own personal rights and your own individual rights, you're fighting for everybody's individual rights. And for that, I thank you, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much. And I want to finish with this. For all the people that are, you know, a little bit terrified or overwhelmed, I want you to know that we already won. History is teaching us that we already won. The enemy just does not know it yet. We are lions, and lions never bow before the hyenas. So go out there and keep eating them for breakfast. Do not quit. Do not give up. We have this saying in our church, winners never quit, quitters never win. So go out there and be victorious. Be blessed. And remember, when you invite God back into your nation, he always shows up with liberty. He is freedom. God is freedom. And when you invite him into your home, into your province, into your city, into your country, he will show up and will set not only you free, but all the people around you. So that's what I pray for. That's what I wish for all of you. Freedom. Be free in the name of Jesus.
I close with the sobering reminder made by Isabel Patterson in her book, The God of the Machine, that when we speak of government, force is what is governed. In a free nation, that force is used solely for the preservation of individual freedom through the enforcement of laws protecting life, liberty, and property. The police in such a society act in the capacity of peace officers, showing no favor or malice towards the citizenry. The police who intimidated and repeatedly arrested Pastor Pavlovsky were not peace officers by any stretch of the imagination. They were acting as political agents for a political agenda whose aim it is to destroy individual freedom. And as political police, the very accurate and descriptive term Gestapo applies in every sense of its meaning, as do all the evils associated with that term. The deep state always requires a police state, because for them, the truth must never be allowed to surface, as it does here each and every week. And as it will again when you join us next week as we continue our journey in the right direction. And until then, be right, stay right, do right, act right, think right, and be right back here. We'll see you then.
Fade into color, and color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be all right.
Colonel, may I remind you that the Gestapo can be very unfriendly. Very unfriendly.
You know, I've heard that, and I've often wondered, what's a nice guy like you doing in an alpha like that?
Of course, we could give you the time to think it over in a special cell we have. It's not big enough to stand up in, and it is not big enough to lie down in.
Sounds like a hotel room I once had in Cleveland.
During the day, the temperature is 140 degrees, and at night, it is below freezing.
That's the hotel, all right.
Then, if you still won't talk, you will be starved, tortured, and then shot. Well, Colonel, what are you saying?
What can I say? You've made me homesick for Cleveland.